Well, there's Super Bowl fans, Green Bay Packer fans, celebrating the Packers' Super Bowl win last night. Those fans on State Street in Madison, but Packer fans all over the state of Wisconsin and all over the country for that matter. Very happy this morning that the Green Bay Packers are bringing home the Lombardi Trophy once again. We'll not focus on that this hour, but we'll celebrate a little bit as we talk with Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane. This is the first Monday of the month, and on the first Monday of most months, Mike joins us to share news with you about Wisconsin Public Radio and to answer your questions and to respond to your feedback. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, February the 7th. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Did you stay up and watched the Super Bowl game last night?
Oh, yeah. It was very exciting. And did you know that there is something, believe it or not, that Wisconsin Public Radio has in common with the Packers, besides all of us watching and so on? And that is that they're locally owned and operated, and so are we.
Nonprofits.
That isn't true of much of the broadcast media anymore. Sometimes there's a local operation, and we're proud to know some of them in the state, but a lot of times there's a large company that's headquartered somewhere else that owns the radio or the TV. But we're right here in Wisconsin and trying to do our best for you.
Yeah, what a thrill that was. I have to admit, I didn't watch the very ending. I usually go to bed before 7 o'clock at night, but I was getting so nervous, and I have this suspicion that if I'm not watching, the Packers will do better. So I decided to turn off the TV in the third quarter.
Well, thank goodness. I'm glad you went to bed.
Yes. We celebrated and talked about our state of minds this morning, after 6 o'clock this morning, talked with a psychologist who's a former Wisconsin resident about how our emotions are so tied up in our sports teams, and especially the Green Bay Packers. We talked about the state of our state and our state capitol report in our last hour after 7 o'clock. And now maybe time to talk about the state of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike, do we know anything more about the future of Wisconsin Public Radio based on Governor Walker's State of the State address last week?
I think people here thought we might know something, but in fact, Governor Walker talked about the same issue with state workers that he's talked about since the campaign. And as a state worker myself, and also one who employs a whole bunch, naturally, we're thinking hard about what the implications are, and we're concerned. You'll remember, Joy, that the governor is proposing that state workers pay a 5% amount for their pensions that is currently paid by the state, and also they want to double the amount that state workers are paying for their health care. And there's no doubt that every single state worker will feel that as a pay cut if it comes to be. Those are issues that we definitely worry about and talk about all the time internally here.
Right, right. But we do not know, based on the state of the state, anything more about what the next state budget might mean in terms of Wisconsin Public Radio funding.
No, that's right. And in fact, that's probably a good generalization for pretty much any part of the state that the governor hasn't very specifically spoken about.
We'll know more on February the 22nd when the state budget address occurs.
And it'll be broadcast right here.
Yeah. We broadcast the State of the State last week. Frederica Freiberg from Wisconsin Public Television and Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, were the co-anchors of the coverage, which was simulcast on public radio and public television. We'll do the same, I presume, with the state budget address, which is February the 22nd. And this is what we do, Mike.
Yeah, that's right. And naturally, we are worried about funding, just like we are when we start a pledge drive, and just like we are when we send folks out to try to find corporate support and so on. And that said, we've got work to do, and we'll do it. And you can expect that, of course, everybody here will take their share of whatever happens with the budget cuts for state workers and so on. And we will figure it out because we're here to serve the public.
Yeah. Speaking of the budget, a big part of our budget is listener support, and we garner listener support during pledge drives. We have another pledge drive coming up.
We do in just a couple of weeks, and that's a big one. I confess I'm forgetting the exact amount, but I know it's something like $800,000 that we'll seek to raise. We'll figure out, by the way, about how many members that is, because we really do like to focus on participation. People may know that in order to be a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, a dollar will do. Of course, everybody is asked to do more, but people can become a member for just that dollar, because we do want people to participate in helping public radio.
Yeah. The pledge drive will begin on air February the 24th and run through March the 4th. So more details coming on a station near you.
That's right.
And we did get a couple of Facebook comments regarding funding issues, including Bernie, who asks on Wisconsin Public Radio's Facebook page, what percentage of Wisconsin Public Radio is funded by National Public Radio?
Oh, that would be zero. National Public Radio actually receives funding from stations rather than the other way around. And In the case of Wisconsin Public Radio, for instance, our share of being able to provide you with Morning Edition and All Things Considered on our other network, and On Point and Talk of the Nation and Car Talk and so on this network, is about $500,000. And so that's raised locally, and then that's one of the things that we spend member dollars on, is providing National Public Radio.
He posted that comment underneath the underneath an update about an organization that has formed to protect public radio funding. The organization is called 170million.org. Is that right, Mike?
That's correct.
Yeah. And what is this? This is in response to the mainly federal, on the federal level, the bills that are in Congress that would defund potentially National Public Radio or the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Yeah, there actually are three bills that I know of that have been presented and have just the beginnings of discussion in the House that seek to defund National Public Radio or CPB or both. And naturally, we're very concerned. And this is a move by right now a number of stations, a growing number of stations, to let people know about this and to get people to sign up for the 170millionamericans.org. And what that figure is, by the way, is that's the monthly number of people that make use of something from public broadcasting, public television, public radio, and public media in the form of our websites and that sort of thing around the country. And the idea basically is to point out that public broadcasting is very important to a very large segment of the American public. That's, you know, nearly two-thirds of Americans make use of public broadcasting in some way over the course of a month. And so people are asking about that. That's certainly something that if you're interested, you should look it up on the web and sign up if you like.
You know, that the ad that people can see on the Wisconsin Public Radio Facebook page from 170millionamericans.org talks about the threat of these defunding proposals. And it, in pretty strong language and visuals, we see a hammer coming down on a radio and silencing it. Is this that much of a threat, Mike?
If it really happened, absolutely yes. It might not silence all of public radio, of course, because we're a very diverse group of stations all around the country. And public television, on the other hand, is in really tough straits in some places. There are stations that, if they were to lose their federal funding, there'd be no doubt they'd close. In Wisconsin Public Radio's case, we would lose more than $1 million a year. And I mentioned earlier the $500,000 for NPR. Imagine that we lost $1 million of income and we still wanted to purchase most of the NPR programs, even in a tightened situation. Where would we find that? Well, You find it by cutting programs and people and so on. And so we'd rather not have that choice. So we are definitely talking with legislators to just tell the story of Wisconsin public broadcasting, both locally and nationally.
We have many more comments and callers on this topic. So let me go to Laverne in DeForest. Hello, Laverne.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I love this first 10 minutes of this conversation. But rather than talking to politicians, why don't you go and start talking to advertisers? You know, the government has, through the power of law, is able to take my money to spend on public radio. Now, you say there would be programs that would be in jeopardy. Well, why is that? Because nobody's listening to them?
No, because if we lost $1 million, for instance, then we'd have to cut salaries, we'd have to cut purchases of programs from NPR and PRI. Here's a case that would be a very close to home issue. We are distributors of three programs nationally working with PRI, you know, What Do You Know and Zorba Pastor on Your Health, and to the best of our knowledge, stations pay fees to PRI, and we receive a part of that income that helps us to pay for the cost of distributing it. If stations all over the country were to lose significant money, they might choose not to carry that program anymore, even though, for instance, in the case of What Do You Know, it's one of the top programs in public radio. And so that is a very serious worry for us.
Well, thank you very much, Laverne. What about if we went out to more underwriters? Could we get enough money from underwriters to make up for potential cuts?
I don't think so. We've actually increased the number of people who are asking on our staff. And one of the reasons is that we know that we need to continue to increase business support just to continue our business. And we're actually behind our goals this year. And I think the reason is, among other things, that the economy is still pretty tight. You know, you learn that a lot of the local businesses that might think of supporting public radio with business support will say, well, we can keep talking, but I'm just not ready to make a decision. And I think that kind of, we're all waiting to see if the recession is truly over. I know the economists say it is, but not a lot of people are feeling that way in terms of their work or their personal situations.
And again, this is we're talking two different things, too, in terms of possible federal funding cuts and a possible state funding cuts because of the state budget situation.
That's right.
Certainly businesses, as you just mentioned, aren't exactly donating a whole lot of money these days because of the economy. What about listeners? Our listeners have come through during pledge drives in the past. Could we make all of this up with more listener support?
You know, it might be possible to have a very special pledge drive and add some support on a short-term basis, but I don't think any of the people that I've talked to in the industry think that that would be a lasting thing because, yes, people will respond to an emergency of all kinds. You know, you think of the way that people responded to the situation in Haiti. That was just a year ago, and now fundraising for Haiti is very, very difficult. A lot was raised right on the spot, but it's tough a year later. So, yes, if things got really bad, we would ask listeners to help even more, but that would be a temporary solution. What we really need to do is to always plan for balancing our budgets, whatever the resources are.
Steve in Madison is with us next. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, good morning. A good but a sad theme there. And my call would just reinforce the continuity of this conversation. What can listener/citizens do in the political realm to secure Wisconsin Public Radio against these threats and attacks?
Well, I think that in the short run, Steve, the best thing to do is, if this is something you really care about, do one thing you're already doing, which is being informed about it, which is great. You might wish to sign up for the 170millionamericans.org if you want to learn more about the federal situation. And if you're the type that contacts legislators, either nationally or locally, and this is something that's a passion of yours, I know that based on the legislators we've talked to, that they're very interested to know what their constituents care about. And so please let them know.
Thank you very much, Steve, for the call. We are talking with Mike Crane. He is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the first Monday of the month, which means it's time for this edition of Mondays with Mike. Mike joins us once a month to discuss the latest happenings at Wisconsin Public Radio and to address your questions and your concerns and to respond to your feedback as well. All things Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up later today, Jean Purcell in for Ben Marins, talking after 5 o'clock about Super Bowl commercials. What was your favorite commercial yesterday during the Super Bowl? Talk about the good and the bad of this year's ads coming up after 5 this afternoon. So, Mike, did you have a favorite or a least favorite Super Bowl ad?
I actually did. I really liked the Chrysler commercial that featured Eminem. And it was talked about on National Public Radio on the other network this morning that it was the longest commercial ever at the Super Bowl. It was 2 minutes long.
Wow.
And it had a feeling of, you know, Detroit is going to stand up and managed to get through the crisis. It's been through very inspiring feel to that commercial. And then the big debate on in our house was, is that E-Trade baby the same baby as in the previous commercials?
Like, looks a little cuter, doesn't it?
And his hair was different or something, but lots of fun to see that as well. You know, a lot of times when you watch TV, people look down and don't watch the commercials. It's a little different during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I missed that particular ad you mentioned. I like the one where the little dog ran through the door and pushed the door on top of the Dorito, the mean guy who wanted to taunt him with Doritos. That was very cute. Anyway, we are talking about Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the first Monday of the month, and frequently on the first Monday of the month, Mike stops in to talk with you about this service and address your concerns and questions about Wisconsin Public Radio, what you hear or don't hear, or anything about the media. And we have a Facebook comment that I'd like to share with you, Mike. Brian writes, I have suggested a commercial promo pledge-free web stream to you in the past for paid members to Wisconsin Public Radio, like Folk Alley uses. Have you thought any more about the possibility of adding this relatively easy-to-implement service? Many folks would be willing to pay a premium to be rid of pledge drives, promos, commercials, etc. I think it's a respectful and important service to offer, and it's becoming more commonplace on the web. So are we thinking of that as a member benefit? This is a promo-free a pledge-free web stream?
Yeah, the idea would be, for instance, that you would not have a pledge drive on this stream because you'd have paid your entry fee, so to speak, by becoming connected with that stream. And I know exactly what he's talking about. Folk Alley is one of those. It's produced by a public radio station, WKSU in Kent, Ohio. And there are a number of these services. There's a great jazz service that comes out of KPLU in Tacoma. There is the bluegrasscountry.org service out of WAMU in Washington, D.C. And there also are other services that are like this that are done by non-broadcast public media organizations. The one that I've known about for the longest time is called Soma.fm. And they have a whole bunch of different streams and they give it away but ask you to pay, that kind of thing. And I've thought a lot about it, and the problem, Brian, that I feel is that you really need to have, especially since you're competing in the worldwide internet, you know, you have to have a market edge of some kind. And I think that Folk Alley certainly has proven that that has helped them and Bluegrass Country. I'm not sure that WPR owns something that is that unique that would cause enough people to pay for it to make it worthwhile. And there's a lot of details to this answer, and I'll add a little bit more to the email that you sent, because you also sent me an email on this. And One of those things is that the way that the rights for the streaming are paid for is that the CPB pays in the name of all of the stations, that's the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, for the rights to stream your broadcast on the internet. But if you're sending out an internet-only webcast, then that's a separate fee that has to be paid to a number of organizations, including the recording industry. And that makes it not as easy to implement, and it adds fees and so on. And truth be told, with everything that we're involved in, I'm not at the point where we're exploring a business model for how that might work out. But I will certainly maintain my interest in it. I've been intrigued by the success that some of these other groups have had. Long answer, I'm sorry.
No, it's not a long answer, and I'm actually trying to get my arms around this one. Could Brian, or anybody else for that matter, listen to, for instance, National Public Radio online coming nationally and not hear a pledge drive information?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They offer some streams on National Public Radio that you can do, and we did actually have a pay service for Wisconsin Public Radio. And it wasn't for continuous streaming, which is what Brian is asking about, but it was for downloading. We call it WCAST. It's still there. But what we found is that people were not becoming members in droves to get the downloads. One of the things I remember, Brian may remember this too, there was an experiment of this kind that the New York Times did called Times Select, where you had to pay in order to get the most recent commentary from Friedman, for instance, or David Brooks or someone like that. And they ended up taking it down because it wasn't worth the administrative cost for them to do it. It wasn't essentially for the Times profitable enough. So we do remain intrigued by it, but we aren't there yet.
Well, let's say that Brian is a huge fan of this program, Mike. And he would like to hear a pledge-free version of this type of programming. That's kind of hard to do if we're on the air live doing a pledge drive to also offer a separate call-in service online.
It wouldn't happen with a call-in. I'm sure that it would be a music service if we were to do it, because you're exactly right that creating 9.5 hours a day of the local talk shows that we do, we would be well beyond capacity to do it, except the way that we're doing it right now.
Thank you very much, Brian, for the Facebook comment on that. Speaking of online, we are making some changes and updates online. The online archives have moved to a new format, Mike. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, this was hard on a couple of our people that have still the dial-up connections, and they've written to us by email and let us know about it. Bill, you know who you are for one of the people that's really helped us out in trying to figure out how to help him. For most people, this seems to be working out. We've changed to the MP3 format. And what that basically means is that now, for most people, any player can play the downloads, whereas you used to have to download the real audio player in order to listen to archives before that.
Mm-hmm. All right, our next caller is, and by the way, we have an open line for you now. Lines have been full, but an open line. If you have a question for Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-642-1234, or if you have any feedback for that matter, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. David in South Milwaukee is with us. Hello, David.
Thanks for the program, folks, and go Green Bay.
Yeah.
I am wondering about Saturday mornings. I'm a big fan of the health shows. And a couple of times when I was listening before the People's Pharmacy show, I don't know if somebody pushed the wrong button or if they just had trouble with the regular news feed, but they had health headlines by the People's Pharmacy. And I thought that was really interesting, and it was a nice change. I think people are pretty well newsed out by current affairs by Saturday morning. And it was nice to hear that. I'm wondering if there would be an extra charge to have that, or whether they still have it and whether it might be incorporated.
I confess that I don't know the answer. I doubt there'd be an extra charge, but I'm sure you're right that normally we play the NPR newscast, and because there are stations that aren't NPR stations that pick up People's Pharmacy, they provide that extra few minutes of programming for stations to use. I confess, David, I'd be reluctant to give up the NPR news. I do understand what you're saying, but we do also get a lot of people that are appreciative of having the newscast, so a bit torn on that one.
Yeah, thanks very much, David.
By the way, People's Pharmacy also does have a website, as pretty much every show does, and I know that they have the opportunity to go beyond what they can put on the show there, so that might be an option for you as well.
Mm-hmm. Anything else new around Wisconsin Public Radio land, Mike? I understand that our bureau in Wausau is in a new location.
Yeah, you know, I can't wait to get up there and see it. I've seen the photos of our construction project, but I haven't been up to take a look at the new facility. I understand from the photos alone that it looks great. Understated as public radio tends to be, but really a good facility and part of a larger facility. And we have some great partners there. It's in the campus area of UW-Marathon County. They're wonderful partners with us in bringing public radio to that area. And also a group that we've worked with on a number of occasions to actually produce programming is the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. They also are partners. And what's really neat about the facility is not that it has a radio station in it. That's cool. But it also is essentially a community engagement space. And so we're hoping that as our partnership continues, that we'll be working together with them, not only to be on your radio, but to maybe encounter you in person in that area.
Yeah. And some new staff members are coming on board recently, including a couple of new news reporters who we will hear on Wisconsin Public Radio News, like Maureen McCollum in La Crosse.
Yeah, and Rich Kramer in Eau Claire. Great to have them on board. We were talking early in the show about concerns about funding. Of course, we are concerned, but we've got work to do. And so it was a real thrill to be able to have them join the staff and get to work. And already we've heard them on both the local stations and also heard them statewide. And it's great to have them aboard.
Yeah, you gotta do some work, including when there's a blizzard. Not to pat myself on the back too hard, Mike, but my husband drove me to work on Wednesday morning. We barreled through the blizzard and made it. Michael Leland, the news director, tromped over here in his snowshoes, and we did what we could to keep the show must go on, as they say.
I heard that Norman Gilliland walked 2 miles each way in the snow, and those drifts were pretty amazing. So thank you, everybody who decided to make sure that we were still on the radio.
Yeah, and it's sort of what we gear up to do for the most part at Wisconsin Public Radio, to be here when people expect us to be here.
I forgot one other person I wanted to mention on the news team, and that's Teresa Shipley, who is our Lee Esther Fellow. This is a really nice program that has been done in honor of the journalist Lee Esther by Leota Esther, as helping us with this fellowship. And Teresa will be here for about 9 months and helping by filing news stories and working closely with our team as she continues to advance her career in journalism.
Yeah, welcome, Teresa. She made it in on Blizzard Day, too.
Yeah.
So, yes, when you have a big blizzard like we had in at least the southern third of Wisconsin last week, you can't help but have some of your thoughts turn to spring. And, boy, am I looking forward to being at Garden Expo this coming weekend.
I know it. For an awful lot of people, it is such a relief to just see all that greenery in the Alliance Center in Madison. And Larry Mueller will be there and doing his usual gig, so to speak, and talking with people, meeting with people. And so will some of the other WPR stars, if we can call the folks that.
Yeah, indeed. I believe we have more information on our website on that. It's February the 11th through the 13th. I know Larry on Saturday, along with Shelley Ryan, is doing a not-for-broadcast Garden Talk-like program at 11 o'clock, I believe, on Saturday. Lots of other fun things going on. I will be at the Wisconsin Public Radio booth on Saturday from 1 until 3. So if you are going to be around Garden Expo on Saturday between 1 and 3, please do stop by the Wisconsin Public Radio booth and say hello.
And there are two things to mention. Because it's in Madison, we have on our Madison part of our website an opportunity to win tickets. And you don't have to live in Madison to enter. So that's at WPR.org/regions/MSN, or it actually will work if you do WPR.org/Madison. We've got a shortcut that'll go there. And also WIGardenExpo.com, WIGardenExpo.com for full information about the Garden Expo.
Sounds good. You are listening to Mondays with Mike. That's Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have a question about this radio service, this public radio service that you would like to present, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Looking for your questions, your comments, your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio programming or operations, or our website, or anything that's on your mind regarding Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up, Kathleen Dunn will be with you, and it's all things political. Coming up after 9 with Kathleen and her guests, taking a look at all the big political news of the past week. Coming up after 9, right now we're talking about news about Wisconsin Public Radio with Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and our next caller is Jean in Appleton. Hello, Jean.
Hello. I have a question also about the ability to listen to the archives, and I think you should get somebody on your staff who is able to deal with Linux systems. I have a high-speed internet connection, but I use Linux. And when you switched your format for listening to archives, I could no longer get anything.
Hmm.
But my son finally found something which is called Xine, X-I-N-E, that I can play it, but it has no controls on it whatsoever.
So that sounds like that's a download for people that use Linux. It's not something we've offered on our website, I know.
Right, but it works with using the MP3 format, but it has no controls. And he finally found something that I could print out and hang up, which tells what to do if you want to. For instance, if you want to pause it, you hit the space button. But it's very awkward to have to go through this fine print and find out, oh, what do I do for this?
Jean, I confess I'm fascinated that you're a Linux user. Usually the folks that use that are very serious computer folks. Are you a serious computer
I'm
person?
I'm almost 83 years old. I've been using Linux for several years now because my sons like it. Unfortunately, they don't live with me, so I have to wait until somebody is available to do it. But I wish maybe you could get Peter Green, whom I'm sure would understand Linux, or somebody who, when you have somebody using a Linux system, could make sure that the changes you make are compatible or that there's something available.
I know that one of the reasons we chose MP3 was actually because it is possible to use it on the most players that there are. It works with Windows Media Player, with Real Audio, with Winamp, with I think it's the Ogg Vorbis player, and so on and so on. I think probably in a way the answer is the fact that your son could find you something indicates there are some pieces of software for Linux. But that's a great suggestion. I will mention that to our web folks. I have the feeling that some of them probably know a little bit about Linux themselves. And it is certainly something that people that work in the computer industry know a lot about. So we'll look into that.
Jean, thank you so much for the call. Again, an open line for you if you have any thoughts or questions for Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike joins us once a month to share news with you and talk with you about this radio service. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up. In the spirit of Valentine's Day, which is just a week from today, what do you love most about Wisconsin Public Radio, and what could we do that would make you love us even more? How's that for a question? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, someone loved our Martin Luther King Day program and called our audience services department to say the Martin Luther King Day program was excellent, absolutely fantastic from beginning to end. I was sincerely moved, encouraged, and inspired by what took place. The MCs, Jonathan Overby, Tammy Baldwin, all the rest were wonderful. Thank you for having that.
Well, we were thrilled to be there. This is something that we've been working with the whole group, especially Jonathan, who's the organizer mm-hmm. of the event. We've been working on this for many years. This was the 31st annual tribute and ceremony, and Jonathan could speak to the entire history, but we've been broadcasting it at least for most of that history. And in recent years, Wisconsin Public Television has been there as well. And so it was possible. I was actually at the event and I could go home and watch it later, which was a lot of fun. And every year it's beautiful, but this year really did seem to be especially touching. That some of the music was just incredible. And there's always that moment where Jonathan, who really connected with public radio initially because he's a singer, among other reasons that he connected, he sings out in that Capitol Rotunda, and it's just so beautiful.
Ooh, and that baritone.
And, yes. Yeah. And so really a wonderful event, and I'm glad that someone enjoyed it so much.
And somebody didn't enjoy our State of the Union coverage so much. A listener said, Wisconsin Public Radio needs less saturation coverage. The latest example is 10 hours of coverage of the State of the Union address on the Ideas Network, not including the speech itself. Could you please cut back to just 1 or 2 hours on the talk shows the day before and the day after?
Well, what do you think, Joy? I mean, I think that the challenge that I see is deciding with any issue, and certainly because we're Wisconsin's public radio station, we do a lot of focus on state of the state, what's happening in the legislature, and so on. But modulating exactly what's the right amount can be a challenge, I think.
It absolutely can be a challenge, because you do think of, certainly the coverage is not all the same thing. You know, we're talking to different guests, taking different angles, you're hearing different perspectives, different aspects of public policy. So it's not as though the coverage is all the very same thing. I look at it that way, and I also realize that not everybody is with us from 6 in the morning until 6 at night. And so there are certain people who might just be listening during their drive to work, for mm-hmm. example. And if we're not talking about, you know, the state of the state or the State of the Union at the time that a listener might expect us to be talking about that, they'll wonder where, you know, what's wrong with us. So it's hard.
Yeah, I know that there's a lot of chatter at NPR about this question of who gets the guest, whether it's Morning Edition or All Things Considered or Talk of the Nation. They all kind of try to duke it out about who gets the guest, because they all do, because of their different times of day and their different agendas, end up talking about things just like we do.
Right. And exactly. That's what we try to do also on the Ideas Network, is that we are coordinating with other shows on the Ideas Network, other producers and hosts, to make sure we're not repeating or going after the same guest or the same exact angle or perspective. So, but it's something we talk about, too. So thanks to that listener for the call. Or for the comment. Let's see, we have other callers. So let me go to Mark in Milwaukee now. Hi, Mark.
Good morning. I was listening to your caller, the lady that's running Linux. Sitting in front of my computer, I typed Linux MP3 player into the Google search bar and immediately hit a top 10 list of players that all look real pretty, that have easy graphics and push buttons to hit play and stop on the screen, as opposed to having to go to a keyboard to do it. So I think there is software out there that this lady could install on her Linux computer, and she'd be much happier than with what she's using now.
All right. Thank you very much for that tip.
That's great. And a matter of fact, I got a note from one of our web people who was listening using Linux, as a matter of fact, and he suggested a particular link that he's happy with, and it is www.videolan.org. /VLC. I know that's a lot to take in. Gene, what you might want to do is call us back at Audience Services. I will send that to them so that they have that for you. And you can either email them if you use email at listener@WPR.org, or you can call them at the toll-free number. And I confess, I always forget to memorize it, and I know you have it memorized.
I have it memorized. This will get you there. 1-800-747-7444. 1-800-747-7444 to reach our audience services department. You can always use that number, too. If you have feedback or questions, you can also send it via email, listener@WPR.org. On our website, you'll see various spots for you to send us feedback or questions as well. The website is WPR.org. And finally, if you would like to send something in the regular mail, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. And Mark in Milwaukee, thank you so much for calling to try to help out another listener. We can always count on our listeners to help out on these shows. And we now go to two. We go to Phil in Crystal Lake. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for the program. I have a question about the format of the program itself that you and Kathleen do, Joy and Kathleen do. And that is that it seems, and Ben Maron's also, seems to have a lot of breaks in it. And I'm just wondering if those breaks are things you get paid for, or if there's some reason to have all the breaks.
Oh, sure. That's a great question, Phil. And the answer is something that goes beyond just the shows that you mentioned, to On Point and to Car Talk and all the rest. And the purpose of the breaks is twofold. One is that it allows us time to share announcements like programs coming up and special promotions, that sort of thing, and to acknowledge donations that have been made by corporate donors. And the other reason is that it's used both on the national basis and also on the statewide basis for us to be able to do the signaling that causes station IDs to be played all around the state. And one example that probably you've noticed as you listen is that on most stations on WPR, you'll hear that little boodle-doop. That is actually the computer signaling to play the local announcements. And so that's the other thing that happens is you'll hear announcements that are for your station, and someone in a different region will hear different announcements at the same time.
Yeah, and the national shows have a comparable number of breaks most of the time. Phil, we do have a few extra breaks in the very early morning and in the afternoon.
Add newscasts.
Because we have newscasts at the bottom of the hour, and we do some weather breaks as well in the morning. So there's a little bit during drive time, there's a few more breaks.
Yeah, and once in a while, I'll speak as someone who sits in the chair opposite Joy. That minute or so when those announcements are playing can be a really relaxing minute for us to just go, okay.
What's next?
Yeah. And so they do have a sort of an internal value to us as well. But those are the reasons that we do that.
Thank you very much, Phil. Sally in Wayland, Minnesota. Hi.
Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
I'm so glad that the Cup is going back to Titletown.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I'm so happy. I don't have a TV. I listen to the radio. So last night I tuned in the radio. An AM station was all I could drag in for the game, and it was really frustrating because you have to get up every couple minutes and retune the dial to get a good signal. And I was wondering if NPR would ever consider, you know, the next time we go to the Super Bowl, if you guys would consider broadcasting the game to us folks out here that don't have a television. I know we're going to miss the half game show, which I do really miss, but that would be kind of nice. I went out online, and everybody wants money to listen to the game.
Well, and you know what? You've actually hit on the problem, Sally. We would love to have the game, especially if the Packers are in it, just because ratings would be great for such a game and so on, but in fact, the NFL has very tight control, and it's because it's one of the ways they pay their bills, including the cost for the players, and they don't provide rights to broadcast the games themselves. We can cover them, and we do have public radio reporters who can get credentials. I know that Chuck Kornbach was very excited to get press credentials to see the game a couple of weeks ago against the Bears, and he was a little surprised that we did, but we do cover that once in a while, and that certainly seemed an appropriate activity for him to engage in. And that's the basic reason.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say that he's at the Super Bowl. And
oh,
I said,
no.
Boy, I missed that. Darn it. I wish I could have covered that. Anyway, thank you very much for the call. Kenneth in Janesville. Hello, Kenneth.
Yes. I think it's about time for us to get in the 21st century and spread the Wisconsin idea to the ends of the earth, in that we should have graduates or professors from the University of Wisconsin that are all around the world as local experts, and count on them to be the experts around the world of the hotspots in the world. With just a cell phone, you could have the talk shows broadcast by these local experts that read the local newspapers and know.
Oh, so you're talking about an expert who's from Wisconsin who happens to be in Egypt right now, is what you're
right? They would be registered with you to be the local expert, and it could be, in the thousand cities of the world or whatever.
Yeah, that's very interesting, Kenneth. One of the things that I know that the folks that produce Here on Earth, that's on the Ideas Network at 3 in the afternoon, have talked about is precisely that idea. The sort of staff talking about it name is, where in the world? And the idea is to connect with experts all around the world that happened to be from Wisconsin. And I know we were talking about it again recently when Cynthia Schuster, who is on Joy's team here, traveled to Antarctica. And now she's not an expert in such things, but it got us thinking about that again. And she had some really great penguin photographs to share. We do think about such things, and an interesting suggestion we'll talk about more.
Yeah, thanks very much, Kenneth, for the call. We certainly will look into that. We certainly try to find experts, and sometimes they're in the hotspot or the region that we're covering, and sometimes they've just studied it. But having somebody from Wisconsin who actually lives there would be fun.
Yeah.
Other feedback that we didn't get to, I really like the way Stephanie Elkins is doing Simply Folk. She's setting things up a little bit differently and doing a wonderful job. Stephanie Elkins replaced Tom Martin Erickson as the host of Simply Folk.
Yeah, let's talk about a great pinch hitter, that Tom sort of surprised us with how quickly, I think he surprised himself too, with how quickly he decided to retire. And Stephanie is on our classical music staff and has a great interest and knowledge in folk music and has stepped in. And we haven't determined what we're going to do yet about the long-term future of the host for the show. At the beginning of the show, we mentioned the budget worries that we have. And so we're sitting tight with a lot of such decisions at the moment to see how that all works out. But we love Simply Folk. We love Stephanie. She does a great job, and I'm glad that people feel that way.
Well, we have just a minute to go. I asked listeners in the spirit of Valentine's Day, to talk about what Wisconsin Public Radio could do to make them love us more. In our final minute, Mike, do you have something along those lines? What would you like Wisconsin Public Radio to do if money were no object?
if money were no object, I really think that we I would love us to have a third network.
Mm.
Because one of the challenges that we face day in and day out on the News and Classics Network is, which is it? Is it a news station or is it a classical music station? I'd love to have a third network. And in fact, thinking back to Brian's comments, we could do 5 and 6 and 7 different formats, if you will, and still have many people that would be interested in doing that. But that's if money were no object.
Wow, that's exciting. We'll talk about that more another day. Maybe the next time Mike is with us next Monday or next month for Mondays with Mike. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks, everybody, for calling in.
Mike
and
Crane.
Emailing and the rest.
Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.